views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, fortuitous, faithful Friday as we press in to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus promised us that he came to bring each one of us. First up, what do we know about the windows of heaven and what do we know about the doors in the desert? And do we believe that God pours out his blessings on us in some fashion? Next up, maturity is understanding that in the course of life, there are often coordinated collisions that are ordained from God himself. Ooh, I like that. And finally, we examine a unique passage in the book of Revelation. Is it controversial? No. Is it beneficial? Yes. But only if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. Otherwise, not so much.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can reach out to us. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That way you don't have to call in. But if you call in, Terrific T will take care of you because she is terrific and she's T and she's right there. And that number is 972-445-0770. As you know, you can do prayer requests or praise reports or a pop question. If we can deal with it, we will. Typically, we'll take those and move those to a further part of the show, like next week or something. We're doing Revelation 3, and we're talking about the fear of the Lord. But again, we're also doing trivia. So 214-210-8483 for those that are ready. I probably should turn down my phone. I just realized my phone is on. And then the rest of this is going to be for those that want to call in, 972-445-0770. Here is the first trivia question. In the book of Romans, God is quoted as hating what Bible character? And for those that do not know, 93 times in the Old and New Testament the word hate is used, 13 in the New Testament, 80 in the Old. Just in case you didn't know, because there's some politicians that go, oh, no, it never says that. It's like, okay, read. This is A, B, C, D. Okay, never mind. All right, so we're asking you that trivia question. Which is the character that God not too happy with, right? Especially by comparison. We're also just making sure you know it's a wide open show. And the reason is because it's not a professional show. It's just radio. It's our communication. It's our get-together time. And the goal of this show is not to be politically oriented. For those that are like, oh, no, here we go, politics. No. The goal of this show is to encourage one another in the faith and help each other draw closer to the Lord. I don't care if you are into politics. I don't mind. I don't mind if you have a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a Church of Christ background, Catholic background, Presbyterian background. I don't – none of that. I don't care. Do you love Jesus? Is it real to you and not a joke or a show? Okay, if you love him, you like the show because we're all about that. All right, folks, keep in mind, like I said, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Before we get to our Yiddish dictionary, let me just say this. Thank you for some of the people that reached out to me, and I will do my best to get back to everybody. Thank you for the new people that are listening. Keep in mind, in our realm of radio, for those that are not aware, I was born and raised Jewish, became a Christian about age 16 and three quarters, maybe 17, right in that ballpark. I have a BA degree in leadership and in ministry. I have a master's degree in theological studies, and I'm in the middle of my pursuit on PhD for Bible exposition. And I have three separate ordinations from three different denominations, Baptist, Pentecostal, and Charismatic. I turned down a fourth because they wanted like $235 for the application. I said, no way. I'm not doing that. Sorry.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and I'm Jewish. It's like, you got to be kidding. You should be giving me, you know, it's buy wholesale, sell retail. You should be giving me the discount. Anyhow, all that to say I'm just as difficult and just like you. I am getting into the kingdom of God, screaming, kicking, and God dragging me in, just like every one of you. So buck up, little campers, buck up. All right, here we go. Our Yiddish dictionary, here we go.
Hava, nagila, hava. Hava, nagila, hava.
That's right. We spare no expense. Actually, we have no expense account. So we spare no expense on this show. Two Yiddish words for those that do not know. The first one is klutz. You ever heard of that word? Klutz?
Okay. Yes, klutz.
Yeah. Do you have any idea what that might be?
Clumsy?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Do you have two left feet and tend to trip over where there's nothing in front of you? Then the Yiddish word that most accurately would describe you is probably klutz. As you might have already deduced, this noun is simply just a concise way of saying that a person is clumsy. So exactly correct. See, terrific T. Already knowing Yiddish, she's ready to teach a class in community college. Here's the next one. The next one, a little different. This is called kvel. Okay, kvel. And boobies always kvel over their grandkids' soccer matches and good grades. You yourself might even kvel without knowing it whenever you choose whenever somebody close to you gets a promotion and they've overcome this really big hurdle, and you go and are really proud of that, and you're bursting with pride over that and over the accomplishments of another person. That's what a kveller is. So if your child, let's get away from participation trophies, if your child actually got straight A's, you would be kvelling over your child. You'd be a good kveller, like, I can't have straight A's. You know, stuff like that. So it's kind of like bragging about other people might be a good way to think of it. Okay. Pretty good, huh? Kvel. Are you going to kvel?
Kvel.
Like kvel. That's right. You can throw a little Italian in there. Nobody will know the difference. By the way, the difference between an Italian mother and a Jewish mother, do you know what the difference is? Okay. An Italian mother makes you a dinner and says, eat this food or I'll kill you. And then a Jewish mother makes the dinner and says, eat this food or I'll kill myself. Nothing gets by us here. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 through 2. Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, the gates of Samaria, 6 quarts of fine meal will sell for a shekel, and 12 quarts of barley will sell for a shekel. Then the captain, the king's right-hand man, responded to the man of God, look, even if the Lord were to make the windows of heaven open, could this really happen? This is what the captain, the king's right-hand man, asked Elisha, the man of God. Could this really happen? Basically, the way you would think of it is gas is $5.55 if you're in California. They wake up the next day, gas is 50 cents. You'd be like, what? What? What happened? That's amazing. How did it go from 550 to 50, right? And here's the whole premise. Even if the windows of heaven, could that really happen? Could this really happen? Yes, it can happen, but that's not the key to this. The key is, how do you answer that question? Not how do I answer it, not how does God do it. Could God open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you can't contain it? Yes. Can he open up the doors in the desert to pour out food where you would not anticipate food being? Water out of a rock? Manna on the ground? Yes. That's not what's at question. What's at question is how you and I answer this. And here was the question that the captain asked the man of God. Look, even if the Lord were to make the windows of heaven open, could this really happen? Answer that question. Because how you answer that question determines quite a bit about your level of expectation and your confidence and faith in God's provision, protection, and his overwhelming sense of care for you. And why I bring that up is because how you, it's not a matter of whether it's in the scripture or not in the scripture, it's in the scripture. It's not a matter of could it really happen? Of course it can really happen. 2 Kings chapter 7 demonstrates the rest of the chapter. It does happen. But that's not what I'm asking you. What I'm asking you is, how do you feel about that? How do you respond to that? How do you engage with that? How do you interact with that? Because how you answer is a great way to take your temperature in regards to your level of expectation from God. When you wake up and you get the day going, you know the Lord's given you another day. It's not like a surprise or something. And you know there's some things you got to do, and there's some, I hate to say the phrase grunt work, but it's like you got to just kind of push through and mull through. Like when Noelle and I got up this morning, we got up, and we were both, didn't sleep maybe great because Levi was just freaking out for whatever reason. And, you know, we gave each other a hug, which kind of gets us going, right? Okay. But initially, when you get in there and you got to brush your teeth, or you got to get the eye stuff out of your eye, you're kind of waking up. It takes a little bit to kind of grind through, doesn't it? Then once you get to that point, you start to get your brain engaged and your heart engaged and your blood starts rolling, and that's all good. And now you are engaging more on a spiritual plane because you've kind of, you know, shaken off the dust. Remember, the dust of the ground. Remember, we came from dust. And now, how's your level of expectation? So then you might want to go into the Word, or you might want to go into prayer. You might want to go into whatever it is you're going to go into, or whatever. Maybe your morning routine is exercise and get blood pumping or whatever. I don't know. But at some point, that expectation must move from a 6 to a 9. You got to turn that 6 upside down and make it a 9. And you think, why? And the answer is because that expectation, that level of faith for that day, is how God wants to engage with you. So how do you answer the question in regards to the windows of heaven? Aha! Very challenging thought. All right, so the answer to the trivia question in the book of Romans, God is quoted as hating one particular Bible character. That character would be Esau. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. There we go. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressmen's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. As you know, you are able to reach us through the text and through the phone. Before I tell you what the next trivia question is, I will let you know that yesterday I wrote a new commercial, and I was telling T just a little bit about it. It's really spacey far out there. Plus, I've tried to update the one where it goes, he has almost 5 grandkids, because I have 6. Right? And it's like, okay. So I don't know how that's going to
This shall be interesting.
It will be. This will be the first commercial I've written since you and I have been doing it together, and you're going to go, oh, okay, I think I'm resigning. Anyhow, I'm just forewarning you that's coming, so I'm not unaware that some of the commercials are running behind. We have a pretty good bank. We probably have about 50 sounds or something like that, and different things like that. So just letting you know ahead of time. And by the way, you guys on trivia are doing so well, I'm going to step it up a little. Because you guys are doing pretty good. I'm just saying. So to text 214-210-8483, to call 972-445-0770. Okay, here we go. Who was the prophet and who did the prophet speak to when the phrase was uttered, to obey is better than sacrifice? Who was the prophet? And who was the prophet speaking to when the phrase to obey is better than sacrifice came out? For those that are a little older in the faith, you would remember Keith Green's song, No Compromise. That's kind of the main line of that song. Pretty cool. I also want to pay attention. I also want you to pay attention to HeMustIncrease.org. 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 We're going to have to come up with a tune for that. Like HeMustIncrease.org, you know, something like that. And that's where you can give, and we appreciate the giving. We had some new givers take place yesterday, and I always greatly appreciate that. And people think, well, you know, I can't give very much. Look, all of it matters. And more importantly, I know that you're committed to the show, and I know that you know that even if you give $5 or $10, the Lord knows you're investing. And that's like the most important part. And I just like it when people partner. But I don't want anybody feeling guilty because I'm just not. I grew up with guilt for years. Don't need it. Don't want it. Don't like it. Don't own it. Okay? So don't do that. Okay. Oh, somebody's calling in. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Ace again.
Hey, Brother Ace. What's going on, man?
Well, I'm headed back from the concert, and you're always on my radio, and I'm coming home. So
you're heading home, huh?
Your program keeps me alive and awake.
All right.
Spiritually and physically.
All right, my friend, this is a good one. They're pretty straightforward. There's a prophet. He had something to say. He said it to somebody. Who was the prophet? Who did he say when the phrase "to obey is better than sacrifice" came out?
Well, I'm thinking of Samuel to King Saul.
That is correct. You are right. Samuel to King Saul when he said to obey is better than sacrifice. Remember what that situation was?
Yeah, he didn't kill all the Amalek, and he killed the animals and took them and sacrificed them. And the post away for Samuel, and Samuel got mad at him, or the Lord got mad at him, because he didn't wait on Samuel to do what was right. But, yeah, he did a lot of wrong there.
Yeah, the big part about that was Samuel going, when Saul goes, yeah, I did everything you told me to do. Then he goes, well, what's the bleeping of the sheep? What's the bleeping of the sheep? It's like, well, how am I hearing that if you did this? It's like, yeah, that's a good one. that's a good one.
Good.
Excellent job, my friend.
Thank you. I'm going to send you some stuff and some money to help you. So
okay, you got it.
All right.
I'll keep an eye out.
Okay. I will.
All right, God bless.
I'll see you then.
All right, bye-bye. All right. Love Ace. I love all our audience, all these people. I love the people that text in because I know who's texting and what's going on. I love the people that call. It's like a personality thing. I like it. All right, website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org? I don't know. We've got to come up with something. I'll let you work on that, D. You let me know.
I just want to use Jax when he says O-R-G. That's all I want to use.
All right, I'm going to leave that in your hand. You are in charge. You can come up with a jingle.
I will do that.
Good luck on that, buddy. Okay. David at HeMustIncrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Good job, everybody, on the texting in regards to that. I have another teaching I want to do, but before I do, there's two very important things I need to share. The first one is that today is Wrong Way Corrigan Day. Most people are like going, what? I'm only picking the two best out of this. So this commemorates the day in 1938 when Douglas Corrigan made the transatlantic flight. He purchased a Curtiss Robin plane, rebuilt it, modified it. In July of 1938, he flew it from California to New York, applied for permission to make a transatlantic flight, but he was denied. On July 17th, 1938, he flew out of Floyd Bennett Field in Brooklyn, New York, so intending to fly back to California. He ended up in Dublin, Ireland, and he got off the plane and said, just got in from New York. Where am I? No idea where he is. Can you imagine flying a plane and like going, I have no idea where I am.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
What a great play that was. Also, for those that do not know, just because I think this stuff is cool, in 1790, the first sewing machine received its patent. That's 1790. That's so long ago that a sewing machine came about. And then finally, 1842, P.T. Barnum's mermaid hoax. They had a picture of a person that was half mermaid, half person, and he did that to draw attention to his museum, and it worked. And if you think about this, I'm just going to say this will really help you understand how the media works. P.T. Barnum, he's the one that came up with the phrase, there's a sucker born every minute. Here is the thing. He took a person, then he took a picture of a mermaid, and he merged them. He's like the first photo cropper guy that ever really existed. And what he did is he said, I did it because it was so bizarre, I knew people would come. That is exactly how the news operates. It's so bizarre, I know people will turn in and tune in.
He was a smart guy.
Yeah, he knew what he was going. He knew what was going on right then and there. It's like you're thinking. So when you're watching the news, just think P.T. Barnum. That's all you got to think. And you'll be way ahead of the game. 2 Kings 8:1-5. Sticking with this Elijah thing, this one phrase I want you to hear because I want you to get ready for it, because I think some people are going to have something. This is not prophetic in the sense of, oh, I'm prophesying over you now and you're good. I'm not saying that. I just think that some people are going to become more aware of what I'm talking about and are going to have an experience in that and recognize, oh, wait, that was this. Here's what I'm talking about. Elijah said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, get ready, you and your household, and go live as foreigners wherever you can, for the Lord has announced a 7-year famine. and it's already come to the land. So the woman got ready and did what the man of God said. She and her household lived in a foreign land with the Philistines for 7 years. When the woman returned to the land of the Philistines at the end of 7 years, she went to appeal to the king for her house and field. Okay, that's random. The king had been speaking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and the king had said, "Tell me all the great things Elijah did." And while he was telling the king how Elijah restored the dead son to life, the woman whose son he had restored came to appeal to the king for her house and her field. So while Gehazi is telling the story to the king about this woman whose son was dead and now he's alive, while he's telling the king the story, she comes trotting in. Okay? Right there. And then Gehazi says, "My lord, my king, this is the woman." The king asked the woman. She told him the story. So the king appointed a court official saying, "Restore all that was hers, along with the income from the family." Why I'm bringing this up is because the timing is so incredible. Keep in mind, Elijah says to this woman, to her family, get out, go away for 7 years. And then she comes back after 7 years and just so happens to be waltzing into the king's throne at the very moment that Gehazi is telling the story about her. And you're thinking, there is no way that that's a coincidence. And you are correct. It is not a coincidence. It was very specific in divine timing, very specific in what we have often termed as divine appointments. And what I want you to use is this phrase. I want you to just think about this phrase. Don't, you know, freak out for it, but think about it. Coordinated collisions. And I'm not talking about car accidents. Coordinated collisions. Moments where your life intersects or bumps into somebody else, something else, some other element that is coordinated, and you know at the moment, whoa, this is bigger than I am, and it's right now in front of me. Why is that important? That's important so that you and I have a heightened sense of awareness. You notice how in the first segment I talked about a higher level of expectation? Now we're taking that expectation and merging it into something you and I need to have that Jesus had on a regular basis, demonstrated on a regular basis, and that is the awareness of the work of the Father. And we need to just like, okay, all this stuff going on, all this stuff that we can survive, all this stuff that we can exist, and some of us are just, you know, literally surviving it and treading water and so on and so forth. Nobody can stop you from increasing your awareness of what the Father is doing. That's all you. Can't blame anybody. Can't blame TV. Can't blame society. Can't blame anybody. You. Me. If I choose to tune it out, guess what? I'll never see or hear or understand that. But if I increase my awareness, if I'm like, you know, I need to be aware that the Father could be operating here, I'm going to see coordinated collisions. Why? Because he's always working in his children's lives. That's why. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love that song. A lot of people don't know what that song is. That's from Ishmael United. Let's see. A trivia question. You guys, now you got to be careful on this trivia question, okay? And the reason you got to be careful is because I'm looking for the order of something, okay? In other words, I'm going to tell you what it is, and you tell me how it happened. When the Israelites complained about eating only manna, what did God do? I am not talking about the judgment. Did you get that? Okay. When the Israelites complained about eating only manna, what did God do? Not talking about the judgment. I'm talking about what did he do? The judgment came after. That's all I'm going to say to you. You know, you can text 214-210-8483. You can call 972-445-0770. Hey, at least I'm not asking you at the bottom of the priest's robes, what was the insignia, what was the symbol that they had on there? At least I'm being nice about it. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Let's now hear from our ministry partner.
Well, we're moving on up, to a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Our great friend Johnny Hill and Men of God Movings. Very simple. If you have any moving needs whatsoever, reach out to Johnny. I know he's taken a couple of days off because he has been just busy, which is great. And if you tell him, if you reach out to him and say, hey, I heard you on the David Spoon Experience, you get a substantial discount. That does not mean he will move you for free. Okay? People call Johnny up and go, you're a Christian. You should move me for free. Oh, really? Well, you're a Christian. You should pay my mortgage. Anyhow, see how that doesn't work?
Exactly.
I'm just saying. I mean, come on. It's just like, you should do this for free. You should give me all your money in your bank account. It's like, some people, I'm telling you, that is just, don't be one of those Christians. Don't ever do that. It's one thing that you could expect a good quality service and response from a believer. And I think that's fair. And there's nothing wrong or weird about that. It's another thing to try and take advantage. Like, that's wrong. Menofgodmoving.com. That's their website. You can also reach them by going to hemustincrease.org and connect that way. Johnny will take care of you, though, just because he's a big fan of the show, and that does help in the situation. Okay, so the Israelites, after they complained about eating only manna, God did something. And what did he do? And I'm not talking about the judgments. You just got to think about it. It's pretty obvious. Because after this action, then there was some trouble. All right, now, get ready. Do we have a drum roll? What do we got? Do we have some kind of... What do we got? Give me what you got. That's good. Oh, look at that. What was that at the end? Was that like a little thingy, like a birdie thingy? That was pretty good. All right. I'm going to talk to you about something in Revelation, Book of Revelation. A lot of people out there going, ooh. Okay, first... Exactly. Boy, you are on spot today. I'm telling you. First of all, for those that are into the Book of Revelation, not quite the level of the mystery that everybody wants to try and make it. I actually know wonderful Christians who say they won't read it. And they won't read it because they don't want to get like all messed up. I get it. But it is the only book in the Bible that says you are blessed if you read it. It doesn't say you are blessed if you know all the nuances of it. It just says you're blessed if you read it. So, like, that's definitely a book you want to read and not stay away from. And there are some major schools of thought, and at some point on the show, I will do the unthinkable, and I will address all of them in the same type of teaching. Because a manifold millennialist like myself believes that premillennialism is great, all millennialism is great, and postmillennialism is great. What you don't want to know is that the prevailing viewpoint in every generation, from the year 100 AD to now has always coincided with the world economics. You don't want to know that because it'll really depress you. Professor George Ladd was the one who tagged that out. Very fascinating material. But I don't want to talk about that. Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this. Revelation chapter 11, verse 11. Okay? And for a moment, just listen. Try not to be defensive. Just listen. There's nothing. We're not trying to reteach anything. We're just making an approach. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. So great fear fell on all those who saw them. All right. In some of the Revelation teaching, there are people that believe that these two people are Moses and Elijah, or Elijah and Enoch, because Elijah and Enoch did not die. Okay, so they think everybody has to die, so they take it back to there. I got it. There's another group of people that believe that this represents the Old and the New Testament. I got it. Got it. There's another group of people that believes that this is symbolic of the church as a whole, and it's in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and these are two witnesses, and Jesus sent them out two by two. I got it. I'm with you. I got it. And then there's other people that think it's other notions. I understand the different approaches. I appreciate their strengths, their interpretations, their differences. I'm not unwilling to say there's some weaknesses in all of them. That's just what it is. But I'm not concentrating on those elements. And you're thinking, okay, what's wrong with you? Well, everything. But here's what I'm concentrating on. By the breath of God, they stood on their feet. After 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. That's what I'm focused on, okay? I don't care about your eschatology. I respect and support your eschatology. Don't care about that right now. Here's what I care about. The breath of God enabled them to stand on their feet after getting plastered or destroyed or killed or whatever it is that you think it is, if it's literal or symbolic. I don't care. They got wounded, severely killed, whatever the case. But it was the breath of God that entered them, and by that breath, they stood on their feet. You got that part? I mean, that's how they got up. They got up because God breathed in them, right? Okay, that's all I want to pull out of that. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. Aha! See, that's the old joke with the spoon and the soup. Aha! Okay, listen. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The breath of God that goes into them in Revelation 11:11 is the same breath that goes into the scripture, is the same breath that goes into Adam when he was a lump of clay. And that's why you hear me fight and argue. I'm not argumentative. That doesn't mean you can't have an argument. That's why you'll hear me passionately plead with you to get your BFN in the book. And do you know what BFN stands for? Your big fat nose. Get it in the book. Why? Because in that book, I'm not even talking about your translation, the breath of God is there. And the breath of God can breathe on you. Does it happen every single time? I don't think so. I've read a lot. I've read the New Testament. Gosh, it's got to be close to maybe 140 times. In the Old Testament, maybe 25, 30, 35-ish, whatever. I mean, I read a lot. I don't think it happens to me every time. But there are times when I read the Bible and I pick it up and I read it and I put it down and I go, what just happened? And that's because the breath of God fell upon me while I was reading his word. In Job 33:4, it says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. There's a lot of life that comes from the breath of God. There's a lot of truth that that's connected to the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of truth that the word of God was written by people who were carried along by the Holy Spirit. See how these all connect? It's like Legos. Like, you know how Legos and they click and they, and you can make this big thing. It doesn't, you can make anything you want, right? They all connect. It all connects. It all works together. Exactly. And what I think is important is if you can be in Revelation 11:11 and stand firm in your eschatology and have no problem with that, but also pull that apart and go, look at that. The breath of God entered them. They stood on their feet. That's a good lesson for you and for me. I know it's hard to read the Bible. Isn't it funny? It's easier to read a TV guide than it is the Bible. Shouldn't that tell you something? It's easier to read People magazine. It's easier to read some. It's easier for me to read a comic book than the Bible. It's like, shouldn't that tell you something? It's like the hardest book to read. Wonder why that is. I wonder why, if an alien came to Washington, D.C. and said, here's my book, this will give you all the answers in life, everybody would read it furiously, and yet the creator of the universe writes a book, brings it to mankind, and mankind's going, ho-hum, ho-hum. Get it? Get it? I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. Please, don't misunderstand. If you read one extra sentence because of this show, I win, so to speak. I don't get any points for it, but I win because you'll find out that there is breath in there. Not every time. And no, the Bible is not God, so let's not get into the biblical word, but worshiping the Bible, that's not what I'm saying. But if you want to know what God has to say, somewhere there between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21. Take your pick. Start in the New Testament if you're not very familiar. When the Israelites complained about eating only manna, what did God initially do? He sent quail. He sent them meat. He gave them meat. Then he judged them. Sometimes you get it good from the Lord, and then sometimes you get it good from the Lord. Get it? Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
There's no need to fear.
Order back.
Come here.
When Josh and Ash are feeling bummed, plus all their friends are being dumb, that's when they need some joy and fun, which they can get from their amazing son, Carter Bear. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear. When things seem to be going wacky, he's the spoon that makes them happy. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Two things I need to tell you right away. One, so that song about Carter Bear, I wrote that for my grandson, if you haven't figured that out. And you think, well, why would you do something that nutty? Well, first of all, I had an extra couple of hours in the studio when I was in San Diego and thought I would do something like that. He is the first child that will bear the name Spoon and is being raised as a Christian. He's the third generation Jewish Christian. Which is like, so, you know, I think stuff like that's kind of cool. So I wrote him a song. He's the only one that likes it. His parents don't like it. But I like it. So me and Carter Bear, we just stand together in it. So he's so cute. I come into the house. He goes, Grandpa! And then he runs and throws himself at me. And it's like, I don't even think my kid did that when I was raising them. So that's pretty good. The other thing is I do want to say, for those that are listening and you're just like, this guy is nuts. Okay, yes. Okay, so nobody's arguing that point. But I'm not trying to come off as like arrogant, like jerky arrogant. I get pretty jazzed about the word. I really, when you get into eschatologies or certain things, I either get really, impassioned because I believe that there's great benefit in all of it. And you'll hear me come off that way. And sometimes it comes off a little arrogant. I'm not seeking to do that. That's a little bit of my personality. It takes a little bit of that to be on radio and do that. But I just don't want you to get the impression. Oh, he goes around and thinks that way all the time. I come down to earth real fast, especially when I do some kind of teaching or something. And I'll say to my wife, how was it? And she goes, it was okay. Nothing brings you down to earth faster than that. Wait, what? It was just okay? So anyhow, I'm just letting you know that. So if you want to pray for me in that area, I'd appreciate it. I think that's fine. Okay, here we go for our trivia question. 214-210-8483. Or if you want to call in 972-445-0770. Two-part question. You can answer either part. What is the name of the man who wanted to buy the ability to do miracles, and what did Peter tell him? Ho, ho, ho. Two-parter. What is the name of the guy that wanted to buy the power to do miracles, and what did the Apostle Peter tell him? That's a good one. All right, website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. I'm actually reading this in, what is it, in the New King James? I think the Spirit-Filled Life Bible one. All right, here's what it says. Sow for yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Okay, this kind of got a multifaceted text. And you don't get a lot of texts, I think. You don't get a lot of texts in Hosea. At least not, doesn't seem like it. Sow for yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. First thing, sow for yourself righteousness. To sow is to plant seeds. And the idea here is with a view of what's right, planting seeds on the right things. When you plant a seed, now I'm not a horticulturist, okay? I did cut yards for a living, but I'm not that dude, and I'm not a really good landscaper or any of those things. But if you put a seed in the ground, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. You have to wait at least a little bit before it grows, right? I mean, you have to wait. You can't just put a seed in the ground, turn your back, go back to it, and it's there, right? Takes a little bit, right? So you plant seeds with the view of what's right. You plant the seed with God in mind. You reap from God. There is an unfailing love that you reap, which means his love will never fail you. He will not fail you. Life will fail you in the sense that it will not be what you anticipated. You will not get the things that maybe you thought, or you will get things you never thought you would get that you don't think you should get. All of that is a part of the existence and a part of the journey, but God will never fail you in loving you ever, ever. And then here's the key. So sow for yourself righteousness, put the seed in there, right? Plant the seed. Reap the fruit of unfailing love that comes from the Lord. Break up the unplowed ground. You know what that is? That's the ground in you that you are like going, I'm not changing that. When I say the phrase besetting sin, that's the besetting sin ground. When I say the phrase don't want to give that up, that's that ground. And why I bring that up is because we need to break up the bad soil that's in us. I don't know what your bad soil is. Maybe you've got a root of bitterness. Maybe you've got pain that happened to you or discomfort and you're mad about it. Maybe there's a harboring of sin because you think God doesn't notice. Maybe you've done something wrong and you've never said anything and it's eating away at you, which, by the way, you can confess to the Lord. But whatever is in you that's hard soil, that's unplowed, that's not been churned, break it up. Don't let the soil in you be so hard that not even water can penetrate it. Don't let it turn into such density that you cannot be reached. For the scripture says, for it is time to seek the Lord. And even in that area, listen to what I'm going to say to you. Even in that area that's unplowed, seek God's help. What Adam and Eve did in the garden was they ran away from God when they sinned. What God testified in the law is that the one day that the priest goes into the very presence of God is on the Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. So God, by law, testified that I want you to come to me when you're dealing with sin, and I will help you. I will forgive you. I will cleanse you. I will make you whole. Instead of running from God, you run to God. And if there's soil in your life and it's unplowed and you haven't churned it up, you need to churn it up and seek the Lord and say, God, I gotta have this soft. I got too hard of a heart here. I can't be bitter here, God. I can't have that root of bitterness. And you think, well, how long do you do that? For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Until he pours himself out upon you, you just keep doing it. And you think, well, can't I just confess it and forget it? Well, if you're able to, sure. I just haven't met people that, you know, unless they have no conscience, never care. What I'm trying to say is bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to us. He who asks receives. He who seeks, find. He who knocks, it shall be opened to him. All of those are perfect present tense words in the Greek, which imply the continual action thereof. Continually ask, continually seek, continually knock. I'll tell you right now, you go to your neighbor's house and you knock 500 times in a row, they will open the door. They might punch you in the nose, but they will open the door because of the persistency. And that's what you do. And you do it until the Lord pours himself out upon you. There's some of you out there right now, and you're like, you know, I've really struggled with this, and I've not brought it before the Lord, and it just will never get anywhere. Too bad. Do it again right now. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to churn up that hard, unplowed ground in you so that it's fertile soil so that he can plant in there and that it can be a blessing instead of a curse. And don't excuse it. Acknowledge it. You don't have to overcome anything by yourself. You don't have to do anything but because it's not in your power. But you must yield it to the Lord. You must let go of the control and entrust it to his hand. And you think, oh, why? That's because that's the answer for peace for everybody. That conflict you feel, you don't get to escape that unless the Lord gives you that grace and peace. So it comes from him, to him, through him, by him, in him. All right, what do I got, 30 seconds? I got like 30 seconds, I think, right? Is that right? Yeah, all right. I should give you the answer. What is the name of the man who wanted to buy the ability to do miracles from Peter? His name was Simon. What did Peter say to him? Your money perish with you. We have another way of saying that in today's economy, but we won't say it on the show because we want to be back on the show on Monday. Okay, get it? Your money perish with you. All right, folks. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, and he will shower you with his presence and grace. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 71-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.